Join me in a prayer of illumination. I'm too close. I'm sorry. Our Father, be with us as we listen to your most incredible word. You are the one and only true God, and we worship thee. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. I'm reading from Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Anne. Well, we are closing the door on the Christmas season today. We are looking at two different texts. We just heard, as Anne read, the baptism of Jesus, which really marked the beginning of his ministry. And our other text today is the last part of the story of Jesus' birth. We heard a little bit about it as the kids knew everything about the story of the wise men coming from the east. And that is our text today, Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. Well, here's a trivia question for you, one you might know the answer to. When did the United States become an independent country? Any guesses? Well, I hear whispers of what I guessed would be the common answer, July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence. That's a fine answer, but the last battle of the Revolutionary War wasn't until the Siege of Yorktown, September 28th, 1781, 5 years later. And then there's the Treaty of Paris, in which Britain formally recognized our independence. That was signed September 3rd, 1783, 2 years even after that. But of course, it wasn't ratified until January 14th of 1784. A simple question, but one to which you could answer four different ways, spanning 7 years. Another way to look at that is that on July 4th, 1776, that's when we decided to seek independence from Britain. But it took 5 more years of war and 2 more years of diplomacy to finally get there. Similarly, the wise men came from the east. They came to Jerusalem asking about the birth of this new king. But notice that the text doesn't call Jesus a baby. In the previous chapter, talking about his birth, it called him baby. Now he's child. He's no longer a baby. He's a toddler. And so the wise men, when they saw the star when Jesus was born, that's when they decided to visit the new king. But it took them 2 years to get there. And then when they finally arrived, they still had to ask for directions, which is hard for men, but they did it. And then they had to go find the family. Not exactly instant feedback on their decision. And then they're not even done. After they've found the child and delivered their gifts, the text says they were warned in a dream not to go home by the same way, so they had to find a new way home. And that means that the time between decision and completion, that took them 4 years to finish their job. Reminds me of a story from Donald Miller in his book, A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. He decided to paddle across a very large lake in the Northwest, and he was very excited about setting off on this adventure. And he felt like he was making good time. You know, as he paddled away from the shore, he could see the shoreline receding behind him. Every stroke of the paddle felt like he was making good progress. But eventually, that shore faded into the background. He could barely see it anymore. His destination was so far away he couldn't really see it either. He was in the middle of the lake, and suddenly it didn't feel like he was making progress anymore. Every stroke of the paddle just seemed fruitless. The far shore didn't get any closer. The place he started didn't get any further away. He thought about turning around, but he kept paddling, and eventually he realized that, yes, he had been making progress. He just couldn't see it. That distant shore started to get closer, and the trip was exciting again as each stroke of the paddle brought him closer to the finish line that was within sight. His journey was exciting at the beginning because he could see just how far he had come. It was exciting as he got close to the end because the finish line was within reach. But in the middle, it was depressing, anxious, deflating, even defeating. Have you ever had to face a long journey? A great distance between decision and completion. Maybe that's fighting a long-term illness, trying to change the dynamics of your marriage, trying to work your way up the career ladder. All of these things share one thing in common. They require perseverance. It took perseverance for the wise men to travel 2 years in each direction just to give gifts to this foreign king. It took perseverance for the founding fathers of our country to win independence from Britain. It took perseverance to paddle across the large lake in the Northwest. Where do you need perseverance? Many years ago, I helped start a church in Austin, and we had small groups that met every week, and the pastor and I tried to have something very tangible and impactful every single week for the people in our small groups. We wanted to help them make the tough decision to let Jesus be Lord of all of their life, not just part of it. But one week, one of the guys in my group came and complained to me, not because it was too challenging. He wasn't complaining because he was resisting the commitments that were being asked of him. He was complaining because he wanted to do all of it. But some of the things couldn't be done in 7 days. They needed a little more time. Major life decisions couldn't be made every Sunday afternoon, he complained. He needed a little more time to finally make those changes. More space to persevere. Not a new thing to change and distract him from his decision the week before. And so this Sunday, I am not going to try to give you some grand new insight. I'm not going to try to convince you to make a new life decision or a decision in your faith. Instead, I'm just asking, where do you need perseverance? What decision have you already made but haven't reached completion yet? Where have you signed the declaration but still need to fight the war or get the treaty signed? Where do you need conviction, not more convincing? Maybe for you that's a task, something to do, as it was for the wise men traveling across the desert. Maybe that's choosing to have hope in the middle of despair. Hope is often a choice, not just a feeling. Maybe that's keeping a new attitude. Where do you need perseverance? Where do you need the courage to walk down the road you've already chosen? Or maybe even the road that you are forced to walk down? Of course, it is probably good to recognize that we are 8 days into the new year, and many of you probably just made some resolutions just a few days ago, and I won't ask for hands because it'd be depressing, but many of you have probably already abandoned those resolutions in the last 8 days. In fact, according to a recent survey, only 9% of people actually complete their New Year's resolutions. And so if you need perseverance because you haven't been able to muster it so far, I don't know if you're in good company, but you at least have a lot of company. But I do find two things comforting. First off, although only 9% of people finish their New Year's resolutions, the act of writing something down makes you 10 times more likely to actually do it. Making a decision is far better than making no decision. The other thing that's comforting to me comes from the first text we heard, the baptism of Jesus, because Jesus had a lot of important decisions to make. He decided to come down, decided to be born, to live with us. He had been preparing for his public ministry for 30 years, and then he decided to be baptized. That moment marked the beginning of a 3-year journey that we know culminates in the cross. And knowing where all this was headed, I find it comforting that Jesus needed a little reinforcement at his baptism. The reinforcement of the Spirit descending like a dove. The reinforcement of the words from the Father saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I find that comforting because it means that if I'm feeling hopeless in the middle of the lake, if I'm feeling like I need a little pick-me-up, a little confirmation from God that I'm on the right track, well, that's what Jesus needed at his baptism when he made his major decisions. If you've been walking a tough road, if you're feeling down, if you're wondering if you're doing the right thing, there's nothing wrong with you for wondering that. We're all like that when we're on a long journey. If you're feeling a little defeated but still know you need to persevere, pray to God for that reinforcement, the same reinforcement he gave to Jesus. What would that look like? How could God show you in some small way that he is with you and that you're on the right path? Or maybe a good prayer is, how would God show you if you are, in fact, on the wrong path and need to find a new one? That's not a bad prayer either. How can you pray for that perseverance? Sisters and brothers, sometimes we don't need new information or fresh insight. Sometimes we just need perseverance to walk the road we're already traveling. Sometimes we just need the courage to stick with what we've already decided or endure what we are forced to face. And so if you are feeling like the wind is out of your sails right now, like you need a little reinforcement from God, remember that Jesus needed that at his baptism. The wise men as well needed the reinforcement of the star for those 2 years they were in the desert. My prayer for all of us is that we have the strength and courage to persevere, to endure, even in the middle of the desert, even in the middle of the lake. Keep walking the road. Keep paddling toward that distant shore, even if it feels like you're making no progress at all. For you are God's son or daughter, like Jesus. You are beloved, and with you, God is well pleased. Thanks be to God. Amen.